Good morning. If you'd like to leave your pew Bibles open at page 984, I'm going to focus on that passage from Luke 11 that we've just heard read. And I want to start with the request made by Jesus' disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." How many times have you echoed that request in your heart? Have you ever asked yourself or someone else, what's the best way to pray? Have you ever felt that everybody else has the right words, the best formula, the spiritual connection that it feels as if we lack right now? Has it ever seemed as if other people's prayers get answered while ours haven't been? Yeah, me too. Praying can be the easiest thing in the world, and it can be the hardest thing in the world. And I think if we're honest, whether it's easy or hard can depend on where we are at any given moment. What life has thrown at us, whether we're tired and fed up, how confident we feel, how aware we are of the presence of God with us. And there can be times where we want to cry out, how should I pray? This is the question Jesus' disciples ask him here. Luke tells us at the start of the passage that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." They've been watching Jesus. They've seen him go off frequently to pray. They want to do as he does. They want to know, how do we pray? And Jesus gives them an incredible gift. He gives them words they can use. He says, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" He gives them words they can use. And the first of those words is Father. Jesus invites them and us to address the Holy One of Israel as Father. To speak to him in the way that a small child would come to their parent with something that they need or want. And then he goes further. He uses a parable about turning up at a friend's house in the middle of the night to beg for loaves of bread. And we can sometimes see this parable as being a bit like that of the persistent widow, assuming it means we should go on asking, and because of our persistence, we'll eventually get what we ask for. But the word Jesus uses doesn't mean persistence, but shameless audacity, and it implies a boldness that comes from familiarity. If you've got your Bibles open, have a look. Note that in the parable, the petitioner doesn't have to persist. He asks only once, making bold to rely on his neighbour's hospitality. He is, in this sense, shameless. And this is how Jesus says we should be, boldly offering our petitions to God, shamelessly calling on God to keep his promises. Next comes that command that is so familiar to us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Again, people often interpret this as a call to persistence, almost as if he's saying we need to ask and then to seek and then to knock. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. He seems to simply be inviting us to be confident. Ask, seek, knock. Confident that you will receive what you ask, find what you seek, or have the door open to your knock. He's telling us to pray with confidence. And in case we really don't get the message, he uses another image of parenthood. He points out that which of us here would give a snake or a scorpion to a beseeching child. He reminds us that as parents, we do our best for our children and tells us that we can trust God, our heavenly parent, to give us all that we need, including and especially the Holy Spirit, so we can ask for anything from our Father and trust he will give us what we need. So Jesus tells us how to pray. He gives us words we can use, and he illustrates that we can pray with shamelessness, confidence, and in trust. And that is really helpful. But actually, I don't think the most important part of what Jesus is saying is about the mechanics of how we pray at all. You see, it's very easy when reading or hearing this passage to hear the words, "Lord, teach us to pray," and to see it purely in terms of how. We can all, every one of us, too easily get fixated on the mechanics of prayer. How, why, when, which words. But Jesus' answer, however, focuses on a different question. Who? Jesus shows us God and how God responds when we pray to him. In this passage, Jesus is inviting us into relationship with God through prayer, offering us the opportunity to approach God. This is the God whose name was felt to be too holy to speak. The God who it was felt was so holy that you could not look on his face and live. And Jesus invites us to approach this God, the God of all holiness, with the familiarity, boldness and trust of a young child running to her parent for provision and protection. We can do this because of who God is. Not because of anything we do, any cleverness in our praying, but because of who we are praying to and how he responds to our prayer. Prayer, according to this passage, is about relationship. It's not primarily about the mechanics of getting things from God, but rather about the relationship we have with God. This is why Jesus prayed. When he had a few moments of peace, he prayed. When he was surrounded by people wanting to be healed, he withdrew and he prayed. After a life and ministry of prayer, while hanging on the cross, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed because it brought him close to his Father. His prayer didn't make the bad stuff go away, but it helped him to get through it, because when he did, he was at one with his Father. In the same way, he invites us to pray. We know that God knows our needs without being asked, but Jesus tells us to pray anyway. It doesn't matter that God already knows what we want. It matters to come to God, to be with God and to talk to him. The how isn't so important. It's not about what or how we pray. It's about who we are praying to. It's more about God and about coming closer to God. Because let's face it, sometimes it seems as if prayers are not answered. Sometimes we pray for something again and again and it doesn't happen. Sometimes we pour out our longings to God and yet he doesn't give us what we long for. And that can be hard. It can be hard to hear, "Ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you," when that doesn't seem to be happening. That may be where you are today. I know that it's a place where I've been. So how do we come to terms with what Jesus is saying when that seems to contradict our experience? Well, I can't stand here today and explain to you why some prayers seem to be answered straight away and others don't. I don't know. But what I do know is that if we keep praying, it makes a difference in us. It changes us. It brings us closer to God, and somehow things are different. Perhaps when we struggle with why God didn't answer a particular prayer, we may need to look at it from a different perspective. What if God himself, spending time with God, getting to know God more, is the answer for me or for you right now, today? Jesus tells us to pray shamelessly, to pray with confidence, to pray trusting that God will give us what we need. It may not be what we think we want, but we can trust that he will give us what we need. And we may not have the words. We may not be able to craft beautiful, theologically sound prayers, and that doesn't matter. We can use simple words or even no words at all, and God will know what's on our hearts when we come to him. I have a lovely little book that I come back to again and again. It's by Anne Lamott. Some of you will know her. And it's called Help, Thanks, Wow, the Three Essential Prayers. Anne says on the back of the book, I do not know much about God and prayer, but I've come to believe over the last 25 years that there's something to be said about keeping prayer simple. Help. Thanks. Wow. And you know, sometimes one word will be enough to say all that your heart is bursting to express. And for those times you're not sure what it even is that you want to express, there's the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes those words say what our words can't. Sometimes repeating the familiar words can help us to come to God in a place not of doing, but simply of being. Last week, Phil talked about doing and being, with the story of Mary and Martha, of the times when it's important to serve God and the times that it's important just to be in his presence, but that in both cases, what we're called to is to be wholehearted. I think the same applies to prayer. If we are full of thanks, let's bring those thanks to God and express them. If we're angry and upset, then tell God. Don't hold back, for goodness sake. You never know, by letting out all that anger and hurt, we could end up being more genuinely open and honest with God than we've ever been in our lives before. If we're longing for something to happen, then let us pour out that longing to our Father in heaven. And we may not understand the mechanics of prayer, the whys and the hows, but if we are real, if we are open, we will find ourselves being drawn into a deeper, more honest and more trusting relationship with God, the God who desires to be known as loving parent, provider of all that is good and protector of all in need. And we may just find ourselves also becoming closer to those we're praying for, a true praying community. We're told we can ask for anything. We can be a little bit ridiculous in our prayers. Like in the parable, we can come in the middle of the night begging for loaves of bread. We needn't worry if what we're asking God for is even the right thing to ask. We can still come as little children who can't quite put sentences together, who are feeling big feelings that we can't quite make sense of, and who just want what we want and we don't know what to do about it. God won't punish us for asking. Jesus makes that very clear in verses 11 to 13. He won't punish us for asking. He won't give us snakes or scorpions. Instead, we can trust that God is listening, that God won't refuse to hear our prayers, even if they are silly or selfish or completely off-piste. He is our Father, and he loves it when we come to him. And even if he does not give us the answer we want, he will give us himself. In just a moment, we'll have the opportunity to come to him with an invitation to come up for prayer and anointing. So this morning, may I urge you, come to your Father. You don't need to come with words. You don't need a formula. Just come and be in his presence. Pray to your Father who longs to give you all good things. And as you come and as you stand in his presence, let him fill you with his Holy Spirit today. Let him give you just what you need right now, this morning, because he is God. Amen.